Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What's good with you on this Monday morning? He's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman in our Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as your smart speakers. You're 10 minutes away from somebody who believes the Baltimore Ravens are a sleeper pick to get to the Super Bowl. That person joins us here in about 10 minutes. Keyshawn back from his vacation. His Dodgers sweeping the San Diego Padres. It won't make up for losing Vin Scully. That's a void that's never going to be filled. But your Dodgers, Key, 8 wins in a row. They've been white hot. Right now, they are the best team in baseball.
Yeah, they've been the best team in baseball in the regular season for a couple of years. So, I mean, you know, for a while now, we just got to finish the deal in the playoffs. I don't care about the regular season. I care about the playoffs.
Understandably so, but at least you got one in the last couple of years. You don't have to hear 1988 anymore.
Yeah, I know, but every year we was always winning the Western, what the hell you call it?
NL West.
The NL West pennant. Every year. It's like, oh, we won. It's like, come on, man. Cash in. So we finally cashed in a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, this time around, we get it done again.
Well, you got the Hollywood Swingers. You got some pitching.
I heard. What you come to the Hollywood Swingers, man?
The way you guys hit the baseball.
Where you got that from?
I've used that for years about the Los Angeles Dodgers.
See,
you're on the West Coast. You don't hear these kind of things. Because when I'm doing that at late night on Freddie and Fitzsimmons from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m., you're in bed. Getting ready for the morning show. You don't hear that. So I've been saying that about the Dodgers for a while. But something that Keyshawn has an issue with Major League Baseball happened last night involving Juan Soto, the San Diego Padres. We're just going to play Juan Soto having a conversation with ESPN while the game was going on, part of Sunday Night Baseball.
Very my favorite players. Stay here. Stay here. Stay here.
It did not stay here.
So Carl Ravage, Eduardo Perez, having a conversation with Juan Soto during the game. Keyshawn Johnson, not a fan of that.
Should he have said, it did not stay there?
He tried to say stay here like stay in the park.
Yeah, but shouldn't he say stay there, though?
I don't think he was worried about grammatical situations there.
No, I know. I get it, but it just sounds a little different. I don't know, man. I don't like the interaction with broadcast team talking to players during the game, in the field. In the dugout, that's one thing.
Okay.
Like the NBA doing the timeout, they talk to the coach, bring him over. This is like doing the delivery of the pitch.
Oh, yeah.
You're having a conversation with Juan Soto and talking about his gold chain. And I was just like, what if he's having this conversation and the ball is hit to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, his reaction time is slower, or he judges it the wrong way, or anything can happen. Now, all of a sudden, the player is ridiculed for bad play, but people not even realizing he's in a full conversation with the broadcast team. I don't like that as a player. I know it's great for the fans. The fans love it. Oh, my God, I can't believe this. I'm more concentrating on the Dodgers. I don't want to talk about no damn Juan Soto.
Well, the Dodgers, they've beaten the Padres 17 out of the last 19 times. So that's not even a rivalry. That's just the Dodgers. That's just a game to them, what they've done the last 19 times.
I tried to tell somebody that on our show that they would – I think it was Max.
Mm-hmm.
The Padres are coming, and they're – I said, man, you don't stop.
No, they're not. Come on now. As someone who's been a Mets fan –
This is when they acquired, like, Manny Machado. Then they got – I think they got Darvish. They got a bunch of players or whatever.
Right.
And they were like, oh, yeah, the Padres are loaded up for – they're mm-hmm. loaded up for – I'm like, no, they're not.
No.
It's not a rivalry. You have no idea.
Yeah, especially between those two, because the Padres are always going to try to catch with the Dodgers, and that's never going to happen as long as we're on planet Earth. But going back to what you said in terms of players having a conversation, I'll never forget doing spring training. It was about 4 years ago, Mookie Betts playing the outfield for the Boston Red Sox. And he was talking with Carl Ravage, Tim Kirkson, and Eduardo Perez. It was a spring training game while the game was going on. And the ball was hit towards him, but it was a bullet down the right field line. And as the play's going on, he goes, oh, not getting to this one, boys. And because he knew it was a hard shot, he gets the baseball and throws it back in. They're dying laughing in the booth while the play was going on. He had a blast with it, too. But I said to myself, boy, if that was a regular season game, that would have been the same reaction from Mookie Betts when that happened to him with the ball hit towards him. He couldn't get to it down the right field line.
Think about it. All-star game, okay, it's cute. Spring training, it's cute. regular season and into the playoffs, that's not cute. You have this going on during the playoffs, man, please. Dudes will be so lack of focus. Things will happen. They'll get ridiculed. That's why I don't like it. I think it's cool. I'm not mad that it's being done. Yeah. I just wouldn't like it as a player.
Okay, when you were mic'd up as a player in the NFL, because we always hear this, I'm not aware of it. Even though they mic'd me up, once I got there and played a game, I forget the microphone was there. When you were mic'd up, how much were you aware of the microphones that were going around?
I was only mic'd up the one time, and I totally forgot that it was on me. I just was playing football. But that's different than interacting with Carl Ravage and company in the booth. It's totally different. I got an IFB in my ear, and I'm trying to pay attention to the game, and I got air traffic control talking to me. Like, you can't do – there's no way you can tell me that that doesn't affect you. There's just no way.
Football's different, although it would be
– it has nothing to do with football.
Oh, I know that. I'm just talking from an entertainment standpoint, because I can't even imagine Keyshawn Johnson out there running a route. He's looking at the defense. He's trying to decide if it's press coverage or if it's off coverage, what his release is going to be, if it's inside technique, release technique, whatever that is. And Joe Buck gets in his ear to say, hey, Keyshawn, it's a 3rd-and-6. What's the route combination that you're going to try to go to?
Or not even that. Hey, it's 3rd-and-6. Hey, Keyshawn, what are you going to be doing with all that money, that new money that you just got from this amazing 10-year contract that the team just gave you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. And I'm in the middle of running a route. No way.
Some people can multitask.
No, that would just be too hard. It'll be too hard.
I look at it this way. Anything that Major League Baseball can do to try to get younger fans as involved with their sport as the NBA and also the NFL has, that doesn't involve.
But do younger fans really like that?
Well,
do we know?
Now,
is there data out there that tells us that?
Well, you know what? To that point, there is no data out there. This is a case of a sport trying to do everything they can to bring a different kind of entertainment value to their game when the action is not going on. They don't have what the NFL, they don't have what the NBA has in terms of even when nothing's going in the NFL, something's going on. Where you think about the play that happened, the play that's coming up, what is the defense going to do, what is the quarterback going to do, what can he make? Same thing the NBA, key possession happened, the guy just hit a three, how they're going to respond. With Major League Baseball, as great as the sport is, there's a lot of standing around in between pitches, in between at-bats. They're trying to bring fans closer to the game, old, young, whatever that's going to be.
Yeah, and I guess it. If it works, it works. I just, as a player, I really want to know how the players feel about it. You know, I know some go along with it, but how do a majority of the players feel about it? Is it something that they embrace, or is it something that they go along with because they have to based on the television rights and what the Major League Baseball contract says? Because I have to think that there's a ton of players that don't want to deal with that.
Those are the guys they don't talk to.
Yeah.
Pat Costello, not a fan.
No, I'm not a fan for kind of what Key was talking about, but like if I'm watching a Phillies game as a Phillies fan, I don't want to have to hear a Mets player talking about like how cool he is while he's standing in the outfield. I just want to watch the at-bat. Like in this situation, if I was a Dodgers fan, I wouldn't want to hear Juan Soto talking. I get why it's cool, though. I mean, it is great. That accessibility is awesome and something that baseball does a really good job of.
So, flip it around, if you're hearing a Phillies player and they mic'd up a Phillies player and he's talking about the Phillies, that's okay.
I would be fine with that, but I could see the argument on the other side where a Mets fan would then be like, I don't want to have to listen to Bryce Harper talking to the broadcast team.
See, I guess that wouldn't bother me because you're bringing me to an element that we might not otherwise get. As long as it's not interfering with the game or interfering with the player, then I'm okay with it.
But it's going to, at some point, Freddie, going to interfere with the player.
That's true.
And you're in left field, and they're talking to you, and your skipper's trying to get you to shift and tell you to slide over, but they talking to you. You're not even paying attention.
And you missed the sign.
He's delivering the ball. Boom! Now, all of a sudden, it's hit down the left field line, and you're like, oh, damn, what just happened? You're late to go get it. Stand up double.
Then you have to have that conversation in the dugout with your manager when he said, what happened? Oh, Joe Buck was talking to me in the booth. You'd rather pay attention to him than me. Can you imagine?
That's what I'm saying.
Put it this way. If it does, then it'll validate what you and Pat Costello feel about those situations happening. Either way, Dodgers been white hot. The Mets winning 4 out of 5 from the Atlanta Braves. Baseball seemed to be in a good spot. But especially when football's right around the corner, there's always a lot of excitement about that. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Kareem Hunt wants a new contract. He's going into last year of his deal. You know, he wants a new deal or he wants to be traded.
I don't know how much of a better situation he could put himself in than being there in Cleveland.
Always good to talk NFL, the man who played in it. Now does a great job talking about that in other sports. He, even though he's an ESPN NFL analyst, he is Ryan Clark. Hit him on Twitter at RealClark25. Joining us here at Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as tune in. Ryan, when I say Kareem Hunt wants to be traded out of Cleveland, what do you have to say about that?
I think that's more about money, right? It's more about being on the second year of what I think a $12 million contract, understanding that Nick Chubb is going to be the bell cow there. How many carries do you actually get to put yourself in a better situation for free agency next year? And so I understand it. And also, you know, we have to remember Kareem Hunt's a one, right? Coming from Kansas City before Kareem Hunt obviously got into the off-the-field trouble, Kareem Hunt was a guy, a Pro Bowl running back. And so when you look at what his career has been, you can certainly see him being in a place, understanding he's in his prime, where he wants to get an opportunity to be the dude that gets the yeoman share of the carries. And so in that, I think this is just a plea for him to try to be in a better situation, because the more carries you get, the more production you have, the more money you make.
I wonder why he waited, though, Ryan, until training camp to plead his case to the Cleveland Browns. Because if you're doing it in the offseason, you probably got a better chance to be moved, because you certainly knew, like you said, Nick Chubb was the bell cow. You knew that. Going in, you knew, okay, Nick Chubb is the guy. You didn't get the training camp and all of a sudden look up and you were number 2 on the depth chart. You knew that already, so why wait to get the training camp to pull the move?
Yeah, like that's the – I'm going to be honest with you too as well, Key. That was the strange thing to me. We see guys request trades the entire offseason, especially very early in the offseason, if you can be traded, you know, before the draft when people still have capital to give. And so it's extremely strange for me. I'm not sure if he felt like the carries would be divvied up a different way, if he was looking to get some sort of extension and then realized that he wasn't. And so, you know, the timing of it really doesn't make sense. But maybe he feels like they're in a place where they understand their running back position is crowded. Obviously, Nick Chubb is their guy, and he thought maybe they would feel he's expendable, especially if they can get something of value in return for him.
You're listening to Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, is joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. How concerned, Ryan, should the Rams be about Matthew Stafford's elbow injury? Should they be concerned at all?
It's a crazy thing. You know how it goes, Key. They're going to know how severe it is before we do. And, you know, they're keeping him out of team drills. He said it was kind of affected him a little bit last year. So if they understand all of those things and it's about pain management and he can still make all the throws, I don't necessarily think it's a huge deal. But what struck me is it's not like we attribute anything else to Matthew Stafford's success. Right, when we talk about Matthew Stafford, we talk about his ability to make every throw on the football field, his ability to push the football in the deep areas of the field outside of the numbers like not many people can in the NFL. And so if that is inhibited in any way, then he's not the same player that he once was or that he can be. And I think that does make a huge difference to who the Los Angeles Rams are. But if it's manageable, if it's something where he can still go out and make all the throws, if we can still see no look in routes to Cooper Kupp like we saw in the Super Bowl, then it's no big deal. But if he's going to miss time or it's going to hinder the game plan in any way, then if you're the Los Angeles Rams, you have to be slightly concerned.
How surprised were you that they were that transparent about that last week, Ryan?
You know, man, winning, man, breeds confidence in stupid ways sometimes. You know, it's like we won it, you know. Matthew Stafford's a Super Bowl champ. Sean McVay is solidified in this league. So I guess there's really no reason to hide, no reason to lie. And I think in the end, you can only be who you are if you're Sean McVay, right? Sean McVay is a guy that loves to give information. And I don't mean this in a negative way. He's also a guy, and maybe he had, you know, one too many on draft night because they didn't have any picks the first day that made fun of the New England Patriots picking an offensive guard that he said he was scouting for the fourth round. And so, man, I think when you look at that, that's just him being him. And I think now, though, Matthew Stafford is having to wear kind of the brunt of those requests or questions.
Yes, Sean McVay certainly they certainly was feeling themselves on draft night, feeling real good about winning a championship.
Was he at your birthday party? That's what I want to know.
Hey, shh, don't say anything. Or see Matt Rhule's not making a decision on the starting quarterback in Carolina to at least after week two preseason before he makes a decision on whether or not it's Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold. Is that too late or too early?
You know what? I think every team has to feel it out themselves. I mean, when you look at Matt Rhule and who he's been, because I was high on this hire. I felt like he was a guy who had turned around, you know, university programs, you know, not necessarily just teams. But I don't feel like he's pushed the right buttons since he's been with the Carolina Panthers. And I also don't think that you can set a date to truly know. Obviously, once the season is upon us, you have to be, you know, ready to name a starter. But I feel like you have to watch the way practice flows, understand, you know, which guy has the hot hand, which guy's being the most consistent. And when you feel that one of those players have separated themselves, I believe that's when you make the decision, no sooner or no later.
Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio. I saw on Get Up that you believe the Baltimore Ravens are a sleeper Super Bowl pick. Why do you feel that way?
You know, I thought about it afterwards. Like, how sleeper is it, though? Right? This is a team that is, that is dominated.
Your own take? That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, when I said it, I was like, all right, Steve, you kind of didn't go out on the limb here. You know, it wasn't like I picked Jacksonville. You know, when I look at those teams, like I have two teams. I have one in the NFC, one in the AFC, the New Orleans Saints and the Baltimore Ravens. You know, people forget that the Baltimore Ravens were the most injured team in football last year. But at the time of Lamar Jackson's injury, they were the number one seed in the AFC North. This is a team that was totally depleted in the offensive backfield from the running back positions. A team that was hurting in the secondary with many injuries there. Also, you know, lost people up front. And I feel like you look at the team that can now be healthy, a team that understands itself a little bit more in the run game because you add those running backs. And, you know, Lamar Jackson also having another year to progress, train in the offseason, and grasp the offense that he'll be running. Like, why can't they be a sleeper Super Bowl team? Why can't a team that's won the AFC North, what is it, two or three of the 4 years Lamar Jackson's been the starting quarterback, be a team that makes a playoff push? I think people are so out on Lamar and so stuck on what they want to believe his ceiling is as a quarterback and a passer, they won't allow themselves to see just how good the Baltimore Ravens have been since he was drafted 32nd overall.
You know, it hasn't been Lamar Jackson in regular season or their offense in the regular season or whatever you want to call it in the regular season hasn't been a problem, right? They won games. He's won MVPs. It's at crucial moments and times in the playoffs when they need to do something on an offensive side of the ball that the offense has kind of let the team down. And not Lamar, not him at all, but just the way that they do things. Do you think that's going to change at all this year?
You know what? I don't see it changing, to be honest with you, Keyshawn. And I can bring this up with you on the show, and I believe you'll agree, right? Let's look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They wanted to improve their passing game. They had what is somewhat of an inaccurate downfield passer or pocket passer. What'd they do? You know what, man? Let's go trade for A.J. Brown. I think that'll help. Josh Allen, right? Inaccurate down the field coming out of Wyoming. First 2 years in the season, you could see those same things in his play. You never truly couldn't understand, okay, will it get better? You know what we're going to do? We're going to go trade for Stephon Diggs because, you know, that makes sense to us. Let's get Stephon Diggs. Now look at Josh Allen. We saw Miami do the same thing with Tyreek Hill. It continues to boggle my mind why the Baltimore Ravens won't make any of these moves. The Baltimore Ravens won't help Lamar Jackson in that sort of way. Is Rashad Bateman going to be that guy, the first-round draft pick from two drafts ago? I'm not really sure. And so I think that right now the best way for this team to run offense is the way that it's been successful running offense the last 3 or 4 years. And now on the other side of that, what you have to do is help Lamar progress by the way you do things schematically and also him just growing himself as a pocket passer and a downfield passer.
Yeah, you mentioned, and I talk about it all the time, when you look at some of these quarterbacks that are young, talented stars in the making, their organizations, you mentioned the Buffalo Bills, they went out and got somebody for Josh Allen. You talk about what the Houston Texans did when they decided, hey, we needed to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, by the way, Arizona, we'll take him off your hands because we got Kyler Murray. Yep. We need a young stud receiver that can take care of business for him. You look at what the Raiders just did with Carr. They went out and got Devontae Adams. I just don't know why the Baltimore Ravens haven't done the same thing for Lamar Jackson. I know they got Bateman in the draft. I understand that. That works perfectly. But it's almost like they're sending a message by saying he can do it all by himself, and if we're going to give him that type of money, we want him to prove that he can do it by himself.
Yeah, and you know what, Key? That makes no sense, though, right?
None.
What guy are we asking or paying that sort of money that's ever done it by themselves? You know, the Aaron Rodgers has always have guy. We've seen Tom Brady work with some players with a lesser pedigree and still be extremely good. But obviously Patrick Mahomes has dudes. Josh Allen has dudes. Derek Carr has dudes. And so when I start to look at what the Baltimore Ravens do, it's almost that they've gotten bogged down in the way they want to do things schematically and don't necessarily feel like that money is worth it on the outside. When if you get a guy on the outside, he makes the money. He wins the 50-50 balls. He wins in routes. He creates separations, all things that allow your quarterback to make those throws easily.
Always appreciate you, Ryan. Keep it the great work, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
My man, have a good one, y'all.
All right, brother.
Great stuff by Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst. I'm on Twitter, RealClark25. Joining us here, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max with Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman, and we're going to get Key's reaction to Ryan Clark saying that the Saints are a sleeper Super Bowl team.
What?
Keep it here on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So we had Ryan Clark on not even 10 minutes ago. He mentioned the Baltimore Ravens being a sleeper team out of the AFC for the Super Bowl. What about the NFC? Well, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL Insider, says if Ryan Clark likes this team and the Ravens in the AFC, then you should like this team as a sleeper Super Bowl team in the NFC.
The New Orleans Saints. Oh. Jameis Winston played really good football last year before he got hurt. Dennis Allen, I think, is going to do a really good job in his second time as a head coach. This defense is very underrated. And when you think about their weapons, Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, and a healthy Alvin Kamara, that's really going to be hard to beat. So if Jameis Winston can stay healthy, look out. This team can make a lot of noise.
Really? Are you saying that he's wrong?
No, I was just saying, really? Like I didn't know that.
Not everybody's in the know like we are, especially when it comes to the Saints and that division. But I will say this. We talk about how loaded the AFC is, and there's no doubt about that. The NFC is definitely more top-heavy, but that does mean the potential is not there for the NFC to have that kind of deep in terms of talented teams competing for a Super Bowl along the lines of the AFC.
But I think, for some reason, I feel like that we're putting a lot on the AFC and we're dismissing the NFC.
Sure. That's fair.
I just feel like that because you talk about the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
But what is Denver?
We don't know.
What is Denver? What are they really? What are the Chargers other than good on paper? When you start to look at it, what are the Pittsburgh Steelers? Is Cincinnati going to be good again this year? Or are they going to be a shell of themselves? Are the Buffalo Bills overhyped or are they real? What are the Miami Dolphins? Like, you start to really look at it, it's like there's always 6-7 teams in each conference that you know are going to be lights out. And the New Orleans Saints are certainly one of those teams in the NFC, even without Sean Payton as their head coach. Because what they have is they have a slew of weapons, including Michael Thomas, number 13, who's Attaboy. Back.
Mm-hmm. Can't guard Mike.
They got Chris Olave in the draft. They bring over Landry from Cleveland in free agency. Alvin Kamara misses some time this year, but he'll be back. Defensively, you know what they have. They got a head coach who was a head coach once before with the Oakland Raiders. So you start to look at this team and you say to yourself, well, the quarterback in Jameis Winston was playing extremely well prior to his ACL injury. Whatever happened in Tampa Bay, it went left. He was a good quarterback in Tampa. He wasn't bad. He was good. He just turned the ball over, which a lot of quarterbacks do in this league. Then he got to Sean Payton, and I think he learned how to manage things differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to them fighting it out in the NFC with the Rams and the Bucks and the Green Bay Packers and the Cowboys and trying to host the Lombardi Trophy in Arizona.
You mentioned seven teams that you can always say, whether they're lights out or those are the ones that have separated themselves from just about everybody else. And I wonder, in the NFC, these should be the seven teams, in my opinion. Dallas, Green Bay, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Rams, 49ers, and you want to split hair between the Eagles and the Cardinals, fine. I still want about Jalen Hurts being that next-level guy that can bring the Eagles to that next level, even though they made the playoffs last year. You look at the AFC, Bills, Ravens, in my opinion, Bengals. We don't know the Cleveland Browns. Until they handle the Deshaun Watson situation, we don't know what that's going to look like. Maybe Tennessee, Kansas City definitely, and I don't know about the rest of that division. If anything, the NFC, those teams – those seven are better than the seven in the AFC, and we've heard.
That's so what I'm far, saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm backing up your point here. I'm back to your point exactly with the NFC. People talk the AFC is deeper, 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 deeper. That's not exactly the case, because we may have more NFC teams with less questions than AFC teams in a supposedly deeper AFC compared to a NFC.
Is right now, just off the top of your head.
Okay.
Are the Denver Broncos better than the Carolina Panthers?
I'll say yes, because of their defense.
Carolina had a pretty good defense.
Yeah, I think the Broncos' defense will be better.
And the Broncos, and they got Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson.
Well, I get it. I hear you.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
when you start to look at it, it's like, okay, be careful what you wish for.
Well, especially the Broncos had injury to the wide receiver core, and Jerry Jeudy is supposed to be the guy, and I think he will be, but Russell Wilson becoming that wild card, we don't know. What are the Denver Broncos? You posed this question.
I don't know what Jerry Jeudy is.
Well, here's what – I don't know what the Broncos are. Are they going to be a run-first team? Because to me, that's the best time when Russell Wilson's effective. But in that division, can you win that way when all the quarterbacks can throw the football? Derek Carr can throw it for the Raiders. Justin Herbert can throw it for the Chargers. And we know what Patrick Mahomes can do for the Chiefs. But they can't win that way, in my opinion, Key, with Russell Wilson trying to play old AFL football and try to win that way. That's why I think there's a bigger question. When people say the Broncos can challenge, they can finish fourth in that division, because the way they have to win is the opposite of how you have to win in the AFC West.
I think they finish fourth. I think they are a 8-9 win team. I think that's what they're going to be. I don't think that they're going to all of a sudden be a 12-5 and getting ready to run wild in the playoffs.
Can't see it. I mean, if anybody could be a sleeper that could come out of nowhere, that's a team that would check that when it comes to Denver Broncos, because to all the makings, they should finish fourth in the division. That could be a team, say, a potential sleeper team. I could buy that with the Broncos, because we still don't know who they are or what they're going to be. We still don't know. You mentioned this last hour. With the Chargers, to me, the biggest question is the coach. It's not the defense with Jalen Ramsey coming back from injury.
Absolutely.
It's not going to be the offense, because they're going to score. But has Brandon Staley learned anything from his rookie season? And if he hasn't, then you got a Chargers team that's talented that's going to have games their coach is going to lose. And then what if you're the Chargers? And then what? He's Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Cohen. Thanks for joining us at Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And Keyshawn had his dogs out. And we're not talking about the dogs of the animal variety.
What?
We'll explain that after he has this from Granger.
That was Freddie Coleman. This is Keyshawn Johnson. No. For all the ones who get it done, Granger is always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people even safer. So simply call or click Granger.com or stop by.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Well, Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman, on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're not going to blame anybody for this. Pat Costello, our producer. But we talk about Keyshawn Johnson. Not saying he doesn't love shoes, but he likes his sandals. He likes his flip-flops. And that led Pat Costello to say, what is the deal with people who not only wear flip-flops to the airport, but then they have to take off their shoes, walk through the airport, and then these same fools will get on the plane and then take off their sandals and flip-flops and just sit in coach or whatever that is with no shoes on.
I don't need to see your barefoot feet walking through airport security.
Amen.
On the floor, on that cold floor. No, put some socks on. Sock it.
Ugh.
Gross.
That's so gross.
It's gross.
Really, I've been caught, though. I got caught.
How?
I've gotten caught a couple times.
Yeah?
There wasn't nothing I could do because I realized, damn, I got my flip-flops on, my socks. But I'm more cautious with it. I'm very cautious with it. I have a small little carry-on deal.
Yeah.
And I have socks. So I just, right before I have to go in, I just put my socks on real quick, take my flip-flops off.
Right.
And throw them in the bin.
Right.
But I've been caught before. Ugh.
Yeah. You've been caught because you forgot. These people forget. They're doing this on purpose.
Yeah, but they gross, though.
I know.
It's like going to the restroom, sitting on the plane. You go in the restroom. I catch it at least once a trip, somebody going to the restroom with no shoes on. Just
really?
Nasty ass. Just nasty.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Really?
Yes.
That's about as bad as people not washing their hands, they leave the bathroom.
The first time I ever saw it, true story, and I'll say it because I saw it and I ain't lying.
Right.
Britney Spears was on my plane coming out of New York.
Okay.
This was years ago.
Uh-huh.
Years ago. She got up out the seat and went to the restroom, had no shoes on. I was like, oh, you had to see me, man.
No.
I was like, yeah, that ain't Britney from Pepsi commercial that I remember.
That's not Britney from the Disney Channel either. Pepsi
just
be damn.
Nasty.
Did you say anything to her? Or did you just
leave it
alone?
No, I just looked and was like, ugh. So gross.
Brittany's had a hard life. I'm not making a pass for her.
No, this wasn't hard life time. This wasn't that. It was.
Oh, this wasn't conservatorship time?
No, way before. Way before.
This is America's sweetheart, Brittany.
Yeah. It was that Kevin Federline time.
Oh, so that's when America's sweetheart went bat crazy. No shoes in the. Ugh. I think we
can't
just
trust folk like that.
No, you can't even be around folk like that. Ugh.
Yeah, Pat.
We have a lot of evil people behind the scenes on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as your smart speakers. And here's something, two things. Number one, this is going to be the last weekend that you won't have any football on your TV. Starting this weekend with preseason NFL football, there'll be football on every weekend from now until February. Our long national nightmare is about to be over, number one. Number two, it's the shoes. It's got to be about the shoes. Now, for those who don't know, and if you don't, where have you been? Keyshawn, L.A. kid, California kid. At times, shoes will be optional. Not that he's walking around barefoot, but shoes will be optional because he likes to wear his sandals, likes to wear his flip-flops. So
yeah.
you but here's the problem. Not with him. There's some people that do this that feet look like they were beaten by hammers. Thankfully for Keyshawn, that's not
that
the
problem.
Case. You don't have that
I don't
problem.
Have that problem Good. At all. No, not at all. I don't have ugly feet. I don't have feet that are long and over the toe, over the shoe, the front of the shoe, none of that. Everything fits appropriately, nice and proportionate to what the sandal is. So I love flip-flops because, what do I need shoes on for? I dress, man, my daily dress is a T-shirt, some board shorts, and some flip-flops, and I keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing anything. What do I, like, if I need to dress up, I can dress up. That's easy.
Yeah.
When I'm at work in the studio, I have on shoes.
Right.
But, well, like, why am I dressing up? It's 100 damn degrees. What do I need to be dressed up for? I have no, I try to explain it to people all the time. They're like, man, you always wearing flip-flops. Yeah.
When is the last time you actually had shoes on?
That's a good question, Pat.
So actually, the last time I had shoes on. Oh, yeah, Saturday when I worked out.
Okay. So you wore
Saturday
sneakers.
When I worked out.
So you wore sneakers.
But that was only for the 2 hours.
Right.
Then it came off.
Well, what about shoes? Not sneakers, like shoes.
I haven't had shoes on in years.
Really?
Yeah, like years. Because I don't wear hard shoes with my suits. I'm 50. I'm not 80. I will take the credit for bringing tennis shoes and suits to ESPN.
Okay.
I will take that credit.
Okay.
Because when I did it, when I was on Countdown many years ago, people thought I was halfway crazy.
Right.
And then I look up and everybody doing it now.
So essentially, the last time you actually wore shoes, was it when you were on Dancing with the Stars?
You
think about it, don't you?
Yeah, because I'm trying to think if I went to a wedding or something. But yeah, yeah. That was probably the last time I wore shoes was probably on Dancing with the Stars.
And how did that go?
What do you mean, how did that go?
The dancing or the shoes?
No, I'm talking about his feet. I know how to dance. We saw that.
The dancing didn't go great.
Pat?
Oh, here we go. Now he opened up a wound. Here we go.
Pat, do you think you would have ever, ever in life...
come in last on Dancing with the Stars?
opportunity to sit in the stands on Dancing with the Stars,
ooh.
Let alone be put in a position to be on Dancing with the Stars as one of the most talented athletes of his generation. No. So stay out of this.
Your face completely changed the minute that Pat said that. Keyshawn went for, hold on a second. Let me pull his coat. Let me check the player. Let me check him.
If we're counting, me, Freddie, Allen, Steve, we all have the same amount of wins on Dancing with the Stars rounds as Key does.
Have you ever had a trailer, Pat, in a parking lot with your name on it, with a star there, and every time you walk up, they open up the door for you and ask you if you want anything to drink? Do you want anything? Would you like anything, Mr. Costello? So leave me alone. Until you reach that level, don't talk to me about Dancing with the Stars. Again, have you ever had a seamstress come and, you know, measure you up to put you in a costume for Dancing with the Stars? No, you haven't.
You've never experienced
that. So keep your mouth closed.
Have I ever lost to Bill Nye the Science Guy in anything? No, I haven't. So let's check
science,
one for me.
We've always lost to Bill Nye the Science Guy in science.
Snooki, nope, never lost to her in anything either.
Jeez, you're not letting this go, are you, Pat Costello?
And he wants to know why his invitation came yesterday.
Yeah, well, yes, for the birthday party.
Yeah.
Alan Yates got one. I got an Evite. Pat Costello got nothing. He got snail mail invite, which they don't even do anymore.
You know, you should try the flip-flops, man.
I wear flip-flops usually when I'm walking around my house. That's when I wear flip-flops. I love flip-flops.
You can wear them outdoors. It's great weather in Connecticut right now.
It is, but I'm still such a sneaker guy. I'll wear like the low top sneakers with like the no-show socks or just the ankle socks.
I haven't worn no-show socks or socks with my sneakers on since I played football.
Yeah, I gotta have socks on sneakers. I don't do that.
I cannot. So uncomfortable.
Not to me.
You one of them dudes, you sleep with socks on.
No, I've never slept with socks on.
Yeah, you can't trust people who sleep with their socks on.
Well, I don't know. I understand that people want to be warm, especially you live in colder climates, but if you're under the covers, you don't need socks on. I can't do it.
Like, unless you're like super crazy, ungodly tired and you sit down, lay down, and you go to sleep with them joints on, all right, cool.
When I get home, my clothes got to come off. So it ain't going to be no
fully
sleeping.
Off.
Yeah, I got. I can't. I can't. Mm-hmm. No, it's mm-hmm. nasty.
The people who sleep
don't
with
get
socks
on my damn. Don't even sit on my couch.
Exactly, Key. They the same people who get in their bed with their outdoor clothes still on their body.
Which I've never understood. I've never remember. Some people also have dogs sleeping in beds with them, and I'm totally against that too.
Well, I'm against it, but it's too late.
That's because the house is dictated, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I try to sneak kick them off the edge of the bed every now and then.
The dogs own that house, man. You don't anymore.
They come on the edge. It's too late. They let them start getting on the bed, and they just get on the bed now.
Mm-hmm.
At the edge of the bed. They won't come to the top because they already know, but they'll go to the edge for sure.
Mm-mm.
And I don't play that. That ain't how I got out as a kid. I don't get out now like that. I hate it. It's the worst.
I'm not against dogs. I'm just not a dog person. My wife and I don't have dogs at our house.
No, I'm not against dogs. Yeah. We got two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't want my damn dog sleeping in my bed.
Right. Or here's the other thing when it comes to people. I'm not saying these people are nasty, the dog owners. I don't want that problem. I have my Twitter handle. But people think that they love their dogs, that you should love them too, and that your dogs will climb all over you. I'm like, how about asking the person?
He's just happy.
Yeah,
off of me, licking me all over the place.
Right. And these are the same people kissing their dogs in the mouth and everything and having doggy pox and everything.
Listerine, clean your face.
Y'all
dog stuff all on your face now.
Exactly.
And they hit you with this, you and Freddie. Well, the dog's mouth is the cleanest thing on the planet. It's cleaner than the toilet.
No,
that's cool, but I'm not getting a glass of water out my toilet either.
Thank you.
You know?
I'm not kissing my toilet. Exactly.
Man. I'm just saying. It's just me.
Y'all, this is certainly the summer. That's for sure. It's summertime. The NFL season will kick off this weekend with preseason games, and then we'll roll in and see all the preseason games.
Sure. College football's around the corner. We got that getting ready. Your USC Trojans with Lincoln Riley, their first year as head coach, about to leave the Pac-12.
We'll see.
Go to the Big Ten. Nick Saban said last year was a rebuilding year for Alabama. You got that whole thing in the SEC. You got Clemson. Got people going to start.
I think Clemson might be done, though, man.
No,
I think their reign might be over.
I think it'll still go on in the ACC. I don't think anybody challenged
them. They lost too many coaches that was viable
like Brent to Venables, their success. Tony Elliott.
Tony Elliott, Venables, Jeffrey Scott years ago. Mm-hmm. They just losing too many important pieces to their coaching staff that was important in recruiting as well as calling plays. I'm telling you, I think they done. I think they shot for real.
They may be done, but they're going to win the ACC. No one's going to challenge them. They'll be part of the college football playoff. They may not be as beat up as all the other teams.
They weren't part of the college football playoffs last year.
Yeah.
They barely – what did they win? They barely won 7 games last year.
No, they won 10. They got to a bowl game.
Did they?
Yeah, they won 10.
I know they was losing a lot, it felt like.
By Clemson standards. Greeny is next. This has been Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on the mighty ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.